Now her focus became closer, much closer. She was looking at me now. What y'all talked about?
Different things. I told him you didn't come to see him because you had a bad cold.
She looked at me, waiting to hear his answer, but I couldn't think of another lie, so I shifted to something else. Then I asked him how he was getting along. He said he was all right. The deputy had already told me he was okay. Guidry was in the office today. He said that Jefferson was getting along fine, didn't cause any trouble. He is using that comb and brush I bought for him. And he was wearing one of my shirts, the khaki one. I think he's doing okay. Miss Emma and my aunt both studied me. Miss Emma wanted to believe what I was saying, but I could see she had doubts. My aunt still wanted to put me on the rack, and Reverend Ambrose continued to look out into the darkness.
What else y'all talked about? My aunt said. You left from here before 1:30.
I can't remember everything we talked about, I said. We just talked.
More than 5 hours, and you can't remember nothing else?
I was with him about an hour, and then I went back of town. I have a girl back of town. I like to see her sometime.
And maybe that's where you spent all your time?
If you don't think I went to the jail, you can always go up there and ask them.
I didn't ask for none of your uppity, mister.
I don't mean to be uppity, I told her. I'm just telling you the truth. I spent an hour with him. I had a drumstick and a biscuit, and he had something. I can't remember exactly what it was. Then we talked. Then I left and went back of town. Exactly what I did.
Deep in you. What you think?
Reverend Ambrose suddenly turned from looking out into the darkness.
Deep in you.
About what, Reverend?
Him. What's he thinking? What's he thinking deep in him? Deep in you, what you think?
Who knows what somebody else is thinking? They say one thing, they may be thinking about something else. Who can tell?
You, the teacher, my aunt said, not so kindly. Deep in you, Reverend Ambrose said. Deep in you. You think he know. He done grasped the significance of what it's all about. Deep in you.
The significance?
The gravity.
The gravity? Reverend Mose Ambrose was a short, very dark man whose face and bald head were always shining. He was the plantation church's pastor. He was not educated, hadn't gone to any theological school. He had heard the voice and started preaching. He was a simple, devoted believer. He christened babies, baptized youths, visited those who were ill, counseled those who had trouble, preached, and buried the dead. All these things could be simply accomplished. But when it came to a discussion with a teacher, though he had known that teacher since his birth, then suddenly things were not so simple.
His soul, he said.
I don't know anything about the soul, Reverend Ambrose.
I baptized him, Reverend Ambrose said. He was 11 or 12 then, but like so many others, he didn't keep the faith either. Like yourself.
He stared at me as though I was one of the worst of sinners. Maybe I was. Backsliders were usually worse than those who had never been converted. At least that is what people like him tried to make you believe.
Y'all talk about God?
He asked me. No, sir. We didn't get around to that.
Didn't get around to God?
No, sir. He looked at me and nodded his head. If we didn't talk about God, then what else on earth was important enough to talk about to someone who was about to meet God? I figured that's where you come in, Reverend. There's enough room for both of us. I can tell you that.
Me, Sister Emma, Sister Lou going up there Monday, he said. Anything I ought to take him?
Food, I suppose. Maybe some clean clothes. I can't think of anything else.
I was thinking more about the Bible, Reverend Ambrose said.
That would be nice, too, I said. Reverend Ambrose didn't have any more to say. He and my aunt continued to stare at me until I excused myself and left the table. Now, on Sunday, as I sat at the table, trying to do my work, I could hear them singing in the church. It seemed that I had listened to this singing and their praying every Sunday of my life. No, I had done more than just listened. I participated until my last year at the university. There was no one thing that changed my faith. I suppose it was a combination of many things, but mostly it was just plain studying. I did not have time for anything else. Many times I would not come home on weekends, and when I did, I found that I cared less and less about the church. Of course, it pained my aunt to see this change in me, and it saddened me to see the pain I was causing her. I thought many times about leaving, as Professor Antoine had advised me to do. My mother and father also told me that if I was not happy in Louisiana, I should come to California. After visiting them the summer following my junior year at the university, I came back, which pleased my aunt. But I had been running in place ever since, unable to accept what used to be my life, unable to leave it. I pushed away the papers and listened to the singing. Miss Eloise was singing her termination song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" You could hear that high, shrill voice all over the plantation. I had been hearing it all my life. All my life. After her, there would be someone else, then someone else. It would go on for 3 or 4 hours, and it was impossible to do anything but listen to it or leave. I thought I heard a car stop before the door, but I didn't leave the table. Then I thought I heard someone come onto the porch, and when I looked up, I saw her standing in the doorway. But I did not believe it was she, because she had never come here before. She wore a blue blazer and a maroon pleated skirt. A black patent leather purse hung from her right shoulder. "I hope you don't mind." "Only if I'm dreaming." She smiled and came into the room.